At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Fill all that empty space.
Yeah, we're going to play bass. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pew Talk. We are here today to talk about
pews.
Pews and prayers.
Praying in the pews.
Praying in the pews or pewing about prayers? What?
What? Huh? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start again.
We're here. Let's start again. Hello. Okay. Bye. No,
and right. Now, hello.
So, how's everyone doing?
Good.
I'm going to make sure that we're unmuted, which we are.
Can you all hear us?
Yes.
Wave at us if you can hear us.
We're waving at you.
We're waving at you.
Because we love you.
Yay. And last week we
didn't.
We didn't pay
Didn't
attention.
Share that love as well.
It we're happens. Learning.
Gave you an opportunity to listen to just the audio.
Yay!
Well, thank you.
They can hear us.
Thank you.
So we're here to talk about prayer today because we're going to be following the Being Challenge week number.
Well, it's challenge number three. The first week doesn't really count. It's 5 days worth of Jeff's listening.
Introduction.
It's Hi, five Jeff. Days worth of introduction. And then it's week one, week two, week three. So this is the third keystone habit of Jesus. We started with committing to community.
Okay, well, thanks for that clarification. So it's week number four.
Keystone habit number three.
Just keep it confusing. Somebody changed the marquee from the time I picked Alex up.
Good job, Daisy.
To when I brought her back. I was going to say, hey, it's still last week's. And then I came back. Nope, it's not. Good job. Good job.
It's almost like he read your mind and went, you
probably.
Know what?
That's exactly
what
happened.
You have
totally
a bug in my
happened.
Brain. Or, I wouldn't recommend that.
That is 100% how all of that went down. Yes.
Yep. Back to that part on the to-do list. Change marquee.
Check time to do it.
Yep.
All right. So prayer.
Yep.
We're here to talk about it. So
we're all pros, right?
Do you do it?
Every millisecond.
Good job.
Millisecond.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into all this, but how's God messing with you this week?
I choose to not answer.
Okay. Nice answer.
Just
but he is messing with you.
Oh, in all sorts of ways.
I had some fantastic conversations with individuals that are working on this
baby
part,
steps.
The baby steps of just starting really kind of at ground zero with faith questions, with Bible reading, those sorts of things, and just not really knowing where to start. And they were fantastic conversations because it's just to hear their excitement about, you know, reading God's word or learning about faith. And it was really exciting to be able to just have some of those conversations. And also just very judge-free zone. So if you're one of those who has questions and has a question like, was Martin Luther really a real person? Or, you know, if I'm going to read a Bible,
what version?
What version should I order? I've never read the Bible before.
I did.
I said NIV. Yeah, you can't buy that. It's illegal. But it's illegal? You
not
can't.
Not the right version.
You can't buy it from a you can't get it from a publishing house anymore. But the copyright has
eBay.
I guess if you want to make good money on people like me, put your 1984 NIV Bible up on eBay. Yeah, there you go. But just really good questions like that we got to talk through and have great conversations with. That was very exciting for me. It's good to like talk to real individuals who are excited about growing in faith, and even confirmation has been some good conversations.
Nice.
Yep. I'm excited.
I feel like I don't have to be the leader anymore, although my group seems to look
so get a different
to me
group.
For guidance.
Get a different group.
I may have to.
No,
I do like, we have three new families in our group, but it's kind of funny because one of them will go, hey, what do we talk about today? And I'm like, why are you all looking at me? They're like, you've done this before. And I'm like, so have these people.
Plus you're on that prominent podcast called Pew Talk.
Yes.
Very That's true, what it is. But yep. I'm usually here because I don't know what we're talking about,
but
and I bring a very real spin to things.
If nothing else, you're the doer of all the things.
I am the doer of all the things.
Including the leading of the small group conversations.
Apparently leading, which is probably, I couldn't remember the eighth commandment today when Chase asked me, I was walking through class. He's like, Miss Lacey, what's the eighth commandment? And I'm like, we just talked about this.
Is that the one that I'm the like, second is no longer, oh, that's a Bill of Rights.
I think it's steal. Thou shalt not steal. Nope, murder. Don't see.
Don't ask me to number them out.
No, we just talked about this.
Not in order.
I think boy, Lacey doesn't know anything, does she?
I think that's the right to bear arms. Oh, that's the wrong.
No.
Do you hear that rumor about Lacey?
Stop.
Let's all talk about her behind her back.
Yes, rumor, gossip. Let's not call that, but
shall not bear false witness.
But then we also talked about stealing too, about how
that's seven.
Now, yes, there we go.
This is the Lutheran
numbering. Paul does love me going to the Lutheran versus the Lutheran v. the world.
I'm doing sign language of no.
No.
Okay.
But this is really how I function. Somebody will ask me something and I'm like, oh, we just talked about this, but I don't remember.
See, that's me in conversation. Like
in general.
Just in general. Just
life.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
The perfect like comeback to a joke or the perfect like exclamation point to a hard conversation. And like, I'll think of it like 12 minutes later. It's like, crying.
My whole train of thought derails and there's no survivors. It's just blank.
That's why we brought you onto the podcast.
I feel this is accurate because you guys, at least you three,
oh thanks,
pretty much, you know, got a general grasp of things, and Paul has a pretty good grasp of things, and I'm just kind of here.
No, I just think I try to think things through logically and with some wisdom, but I don't have any of those things. Logic.
You
or
do
wisdom.
Have logic and wisdom.
Yeah. It'd be the gray hair. Don't let the gray hair fool you.
The crown of splendor.
Splenda, like the sweetener?
Yeah.
Yes,
the crown of Splenda. So sweet. He's got a crown of Splenda.
Splenda. Speaking of Splenda, how's that Boston Red Sox cap treating you?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, is that the reason why they won last night? And
probably. Yeah. No, it's all me because I cheer so hard for the Boston Red Sox. Uh-huh. I actually did when I got the
your
cap.
Hair is on top it's of like, your hat.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just see that. What is
there you go.
So the what's going on? Up. You get your feet or your back
my
in
foot
life.
Is
your
fine.
Foot. Everything's working right now, huh?
I had an extra 2 weeks to rest it, so I didn't do much. It's mostly fine until I try and releve.
Releve.
When I'm at chest.
Can you show us? I'm not sure what that is. Will you please show
when
us?
When you go up on your toe.
Oh.
It works your calf muscles. Yeah. But when I go out, I bend it too far.
It's like,
and it still hurts, but I don't really do that very often.
Are we going to do that live?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Is there a 5 o'clock jazzercise class in the morning time, or is it 5:30? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to that one, but I hear there is one then.
Well, I was hoping there was like a 5 a.m. because I've done it.
There's
six.
A 5 a.m. workout at another place that we know.
I know, which scares me.
Yeah. Don't let it scare you.
It does.
There it is. And that class is irregular. There's different people that come go.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a good one. They'll only make you pick up some heavyweights and put it down.
Some.
That's my problem, like picking up on the heavyweights. I could do like fives.
Help you with it.
They'll start there.
Fives or eights. Tens are too much.
Depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, it really is. Like butterflies and 10 on the floor. Can't do it. Resistance bands. I'm good at
love.
Paul, you're
sorry,
just like,
this is just sidetracked.
He's like going to be on task.
I know. Let's go, Paul.
I'm not. It's been a long day.
We're derailing you. Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. Andrew goes, Sandra.
Thank you, Carrie's mom. That's how.
It's been a long time since I've seen her there. I used to see her on Saturdays, but I haven't been on Saturdays.
That's how I know who she is. I'm like, that's Carrie's mom.
It's Carrie's mom. Yep.
Hi, Paul. Kay. How do you prioritize prayer?
Jazzercise.
Jazzercise.
That, I knew it.
Anthony's done it. Actually, I don't even sure if Stacy actually answered the question, but let's just move on.
That's true. But
I no longer care.
She lost her chance. All right, Casey.
Oh, God's been messing with me in mostly good ways this week. Exciting stuff's happening. And actually, Pew Talk gets the first public announcement on this. Oh, Lacey already heard it.
I did.
Earlier today. But we officially have a start date for our new junior high youth group. Ooh. November 7th, 5 o'clock.
And you have leaders and everything.
Yep. Woo-hoo. Now we have a start date. So
yay!
Our junior high 6th through 8th grade students will have a group that will meet at our church again. And I'm
That's
excited.
Awesome. That's fun.
Nice.
God's been working because that was one of the first things that I wanted to kind of get going. But you can't do that on your own. So I've been praying for the last several months and for God not only to bring the right leaders forward, but also let there be interest and need for it. And all of that has shown itself. So God That's has awesome. Been good so far.
So are you saying that prayer works?
It does, in fact.
If it is God's will.
It almost ties into the conversation. Segue. Yeah. Jump so let's let me ask. This is one of the major questions that we had. We're going to segue into it. Let's just do it. If God answered every prayer that you had, what how would the world be changed?
Yeah.
It wouldn't. We would all be spoiled, rotten.
No, that's not the question. The question is, are you praying for things that would actually change the world, or are you praying for things that would just make you happy? That's where the question was. That's where the question was going.
Yes.
You brought up.
What's funny? You brought up. The Huskers. The Huskers would win. Well, of course, then all the other teams would win too. Right. So
not everybody can win.
That would be fun.
And that, and if that's the case,
everybody ends in a tie.
I was gonna say the only way the only way you don't lose is in a tie.
Well, you've seen Bruce Almighty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this
yes
is
to all.
This is the perfect example of that. It's just like yes to all, and it's like, oh, I won the lottery, so did everybody
$17.
Else. $17.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've asked. There was a group a while ago that asked this question, which is funny that it brought up again because it's just like a
deja vu.
But one of the things I brought up in that group was, if you ended everything, well, your will be done.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
if your prayer is answered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So. Yeah.
True.
Well, that's why mentioned with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. His prayer was answered, but it wasn't but God didn't take the cup. The Father didn't take the cup away from Jesus. Jesus still needed to go to the cross. But what he did is he gave Jesus the strength to walk through that valley. And
we know that because the Bible literally says that God sent an angel to strengthen him. It wasn't we think he got strength.
Yeah.
No, the Bible tells us that's exactly what God did for him.
Yep. I'm laughing because I thought he said angel. Angel.
I probably did. Who knows? Me and the English language sometimes are good friends and sometimes we're like trains in the night.
It's okay. We learned about angles today in 3 math classes.
Not angels, though.
No,
I always have to think about how to spell it.
I do too. Angles. There we go. Did I say angel? I did.
No, you said angles.
But now we're all confused.
I'm confused every day.
This is the reason I'm here.
That's because you
keep you guys on your toes.
Sorry,
confused.
Yeah. So if God is answering all our prayers, because of course we just always end with "Your will be done," then we're good, right?
Theoretically.
I mean, what do you mean by "we're good"? Right? Like.
Like all
challenging.
I mean, there's a yes and no to that. I mean, when someone prays, you know, "Thy will be done," first off, you can be certain that prayer will be answered, almost certainly in the affirmative. But the other side of that is you have to be okay with the idea that God's will might not be what you are wanting. Mm-hmm. So will you be emotionally good with all of it? There's a chance that in certain situations, no, God's will might make you very upset, but your prayer will be answered.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Go team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, and that's where I think a lot of people struggle with prayer is if I'm going to end it in "Thy will be done" and God's just going to do his will anyway, what's the point of praying?
Yeah. We're all good, right?
Yeah. Is that what you were meaning? Like, okay. I wasn't sure what "we're all good, right" meant.
Well, I'm just saying most of us were generally, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if I'm worrying about what God needs at that point or wants us to do. I'm asking you, I mean, sometimes when I'm praying, I'm
in
like,
terms of what you're praying.
Yeah.
Well, especially in our most, what we'll call desperate moments.
I mean, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Me as well. It's, when something is dire, when I'm reaching out to God, it's, yeah, God, your will be done, but come on, I really need this. Like, can we like sway the scales a little bit here?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what, I mean, God wants us to have conversations with him. God wants to hear our hearts. As a parent, you can tell when your kids are telling you what you want to hear, as opposed to telling you what they, what they're struggling with or what they want or what they need. And as a parent, you want your kids to just talk to you. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. I've got a child who will at times just like lose it. Just cry, ball, curl up into a ball.
You said child, singular.
I'm specifically because she won't talk. When she gets into this...
The other one.
The funk.
Won't stop talking.
Yes.
Okay.
When she gets into this funk, she won't tell us what is it that she'll just... And she'll either cry or she'll go, mommy. And she just won't just tell, what do you need? And it's really frustrating as a parent because...
You just want to fix it.
Yeah. You want to fix it. And you want some... You know that she needs something, but like a lot of times she'll just come in from outside or... And there she won't tell us what happened, what she... why she's crying, what she needs. She just dissolves into this bumbling mess, and until she can finally calm down enough to tell us what she needs, and then she's fine. We can get what she needs. Now God's different because God knows our needs, but he still wants us to
ask him.
And there are times where that's the case too with this child, where it's like, you know what she needs, but you need her to calm down and verbalize it for herself.
Yeah, she's one though. I see the illustration of just like coming and sitting at the feet of Jesus, just like, I'm so overwhelmed, I can't put into words yet. And I think that for me, an illustration for my prayer life is, a lot of times I feel like I have all this jumbled around in my head and I can't focus it enough into a singular prayer. So I often end up with the, okay, God, you can make sense of all of this. This is my prayer right now. Okay. And just said that. And that's kind of how she is too. She just can't verbalize it, but it doesn't mean that the need and the thoughts aren't there. So to just, I mean, she comes to us for her comfort. And
she
knows,
comes to you. She doesn't love my comfort.
If I'm not there, she goes to you. But she just wants to be held in that, usually in that moment. And then eventually she'll get to the point where we can talk and move forward. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's me with God too.
Oh yeah. The one advantage that we have with God in that situation is that God isn't left wondering what we're feeling. Like, he knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
I forget what verse in the Bible.
Romans 8.
Yeah, where like your heavenly father knows what you need.
Not Romans 8. Never mind.
I'm pretty sure this was part of the Sermon on the Mount. But he tells us, your heavenly father knows what you need before you even ask. Like, yeah. So if you can't put it into words, sometimes just, you know, what's helped me emotionally is if I feel off, but I don't know what it is, it's just, God, I need you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will pray that repeatedly, just, you know, on a loop, because that's all I can get out to, like, I don't know what I need, but I need you right now. And as unhelpful as that might sound, it's one of the most relieving things of just crying out to God. Because that's what he's there for. I think it's one of the reasons one of the ways he reveals himself to us is as the Father. Like, he is our protector in that situation.
Yeah. Romans 8 is that when you don't know what to pray for, as you ought, the Spirit intercedes for you on your behalf with groans too deep for words. And so that's where I see this daughter is, like, she'll just groan. But that's me too. Like with some of my prayers, like Stacy was saying, there are times where I just don't know what to pray for. It's just a God, you know the situation, you know my needs, or you know this person's needs, whatever it is. Thy will be done. Do thy will.
Please.
pretty please.
Cream in a chair.
Do you guys have I mean, I know that's not the same. All right, I'm going to try to ask this question without sounding dumb. Is there a certain theme of most of your prayers? For example, like mine is constantly, regardless of what it is, if it's the worship band, if it's the just anything, it's just like, just show me what I'm supposed to learn in this, or give me wisdom on this, or there's some sort of
teach me
or use me in a certain way, or that kind of thing. Is like wisdom, just push me in the right directions, or give me the words I need to say, or those kind of things. I would like to chalk it up to a, I don't know what I'm doing, so help me. Without actually saying that, but that's the kind of theme that I know that majority of my prayers are. Do you guys have a certain theme that you guys go for?
If it's not a need-based prayer, like I'm requesting something, I request usually that God hollows me of my pride and lets him shine through me. Because it's one of the hardest things being in public ministry is, you know, people tend to know who I am, even if I might not know them. And if things go really well, you get a lot of compliments. Like, you did really great at that. I really enjoyed when you did that. And it's very easy to slip into, I'm like, man, yeah, I got this DCE thing down. And then about that time, you get the angry email of, I can't believe this happened. It's like, but in those moments, it's very easy to slip into, yeah, I know how to run a program. This is awesome. You know, people are connecting to Jesus because I did it. It's like, no, God, empty me of myself so that they see you, and then I'm the connecting piece in that situation.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the opposite. I'm always assuming that I'm going to get an email.
the angry one.
Because I'll say something silly, uncouth.
Like that?
Never.
What's wrong with the word couth?
Oop. I don't know.
Couth. I was saying, it sounds too close to couth.
Couth. Couthe. Couth.
I don't know.
I don't think there's an E at the end.
Boy, we are really just all over the board today.
No. Or, I was fine until you said couth.
I think it's just me.
Yeah.
I'm all over the board.
So for me, it's more of mine's a presence and guidance. You know, God, be with me, be with this person, and guide us, guide me, guide this person, to do your will today. You know, that's that's kind of that. I've got a prayer list of about 30, 40 names that's on a daily basis. And then when people ask me for prayers, that goes on there for usually a week or unless it's for a specific time frame. But that's typically what that is.
And that reminds me, anybody on, if you guys have a prayer request, here's the email address. If you guys want to send prayer requests, we can certainly add you to the list. We can,
Yeah. Or Stacy already said that we already tagged Stacy as the prayer.
I was nominated prayer.
Prayerer.
Well, if you want to be
in
the service, just let her.
Yeah.
If you need prayers today, like immediately, just put it in the comment if you don't mind like sharing to everybody. But if it's more private, there's the email. Yeah. We can certainly,
put that in our personal prayers.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Gerber will.
I'll let y'all know.
Let us know.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there to the world in case you guys are listening who want to be part of that.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that up for a minute.
And for those of you who are listening who don't see the email address pop up on your screen, it is trinityfremontpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh yeah, the people who actually listen to the actual podcast.
The people who podcast.
The people who podcast.
How we call it, a podcast.
Yeah.
Like
a
Pew Talk podcast.
At two times the speed.
That's only me. I mean, we've kind of asked the question at the beginning of you said how important prayer life is in your life. I mean, if I had to like call myself out, I would say that I'm a 3 out of 10. Well, and the reason I say that is because when I think, and this is where I think a lot of, this is where I get hung up. When I'm thinking of prayer, I'm thinking the full on, like, bow ahead and do all this other stuff. There are many, 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 every day that I'm constantly
conversing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't actually go,
Dear Jesus.
Yeah. You know, I don't do the formal out loud prayer thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually very uncomfortable praying out loud. Everybody knows this, except that I have to do it all the time, which stinks. But I'm not a big fan of the out loud corporate prayer thing. It's just, it's not my thing. That's why I have you do it, because you're much better than I am. But
that's why I let the people in St. Louis write it for me.
But I mean, is prayer life? It's not just the whole bowing down. It's the conversation that you're having, even if can it be in your head? I mean, what's
So remember, prayer is conversation with God. I mean, that is its basic definition. Is prayer is conversation with God. And so there are, like, think of how you have conversations with people around you. There are times where you need to be very formal. There are times where you are very formal in the way that you have conversations with people. And usually those formal prayers or those formal conversations with people are people that you have maybe less of a relationship with. Like if I'm writing somebody to, a foundation to give money to the school or the church, that's gonna be a very formal letter. And a lot of times I don't have any relationship with that person or that foundation, but there needs to be some formality there's some formality in that. The more I know a person, the less formal I am in my in my conversations with them. If you're real good friends with me, sometimes I don't even send words. I just send GIFs in our conversations. Because that's how I love to communicate. Like you tell me something, and instead of me saying yay or whatever, it will be a GIF of all of our friends' characters dancing around because they're really excited. I want to portray emotion and excitement in that words just don't do nearly as well. And so conversations with God, and I think that's one of the struggles with a lot of people, is they don't know the right way to be formally have a conversation with God. Just like for me, I need someone to tell me how to write a letter for a grant proposal, because I don't know what I'm doing in that. So I need someone that will show me, well, this is the exact form that you have to take. But the more we grow in our relationship with God, the much less formal it becomes. I don't need now it's good to have time set aside. I'm not saying don't have formal prayers, because that means that you don't have a relationship with God. That's not all what I'm saying. But the more you're in relationship, the more you're in communication, the more often those prayers just become these kind of 10 second, oh hey, something popped up. We've tried very often the route from the Fremont Hospital to Omaha. via the helicopter is typically pretty much right over our house. And so, you know, we usually stop, try and stop, you know, we hear that, we see that, try and stop what we're doing and just, you know, dear Jesus, you know what's going on. Please watch over that, that individual and their family. And you know, it's pretty quick, pretty informal, but just a different, you know, it's not the, even though, you know, every morning, every night I start with Luther's morning, evening prayer, very formal. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also.
I didn't do it last night without you. And I went, I don't know at all.
Alex does.
But we did fine. We made it.
Yep. But even like,
know it well enough and we all like, oh yeah, you know that.
But even like, it's been funny because as Bennett's been in preschool this year, the teacher there has kind of been even teaching them more stuff. And so we start and Bennett teaches in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he gets mad at me in church now because I don't, when I say amen, I don't like clap my hands together.
He leaned over to me one day. Daddy did it wrong.
But it's just there's different, you know, levels of formality in some of our discussions. But there's also just different comfort levels. There's different, each person's different in the way that they communicate with people.
Well, I just wanted to point that out because some people say, "Why I don't have a good prayer life?" When I feel like I say I'm on a three, but in reality, I think I'm constantly talking to God.
Yeah,
I mean, almost every day.
Yeah,
if it's not out loud or if it's not in front of anybody, it's actually probably more accurate than I do in front of. Actually, I feel so weird doing it in front of people that I won't even do it on this podcast. If you ever go back, I did once.
Once.
You can have another try today.
No. Yeah. But that brings me to the next thing that I have on my little list of
Paul
conversations.
You are.
There was a verse you read about the public prayer and they got their reward.
Yeah.
It confuses me because then we turn around and do the same thing.
Well, so what it says is, do not heap up words like the Pharisees so that might be heard by others. Because they have, you know, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Their whole goal is not to actually pray and converse with God.
It's to show how
their whole it's to impress people. And so when it says they've, because that's the phrase that has always that confused me for a very long time. It's with tithing and with prayer is how Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says they have received their reward, and I'm like, well, if they're getting their reward, why is Jesus telling us not to do it that way? Because it obviously produces a reward, but the reward that it produces is not that God hears them. It's that other people see them. That's all they get out of that, is that other people see them. They've gotten what they wanted. And so it's not that like praying in public or praying prayers that are well written Jesus is not speaking against those prayers. Jesus is speaking against the, look at how good I am at praying. Listen to me. And that's why I'm very blunt about it. You know, the prayers that I pray on Sunday morning, they're not my prayers. They are written by people in St. Louis. There's people who are paid to help us be able to express what we want, and they do a great job because we don't typically follow the readings each week that a lot of other LCMS churches do. But they take God's word and they turn it into prayers. And so there are times where you can really see that well connected when I line those things up. But that's what I love about it. They do a great job of taking God's word and really praying it back to God. So it's not to make me sound great. Or if you hear me pray on a Sunday morning, go, well, I can't pray like that. Neither can I. Just be on. Neither can I. And that's not like when I'm in a hospital room. I like having something to guide me so that I'm not stammering and stuttering, but instead just being able to get across what I'm trying to say without having to
think
really, really hard about what I'm trying to say, but rather just pray it. And that's where I struggle a lot with public prayer is. I don't think fast enough a lot of times. And so I just get stuck.
Or my brain is thinking faster than my mouth can handle, which is actually 99% of my life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now you categorize prayer as communication. I mean,
right.
Communication. Conversation communication, but communication, I mean, basically you used a metaphor of, you know, if you're not communicating, then
you can't have a relationship.
Yeah. So in what other areas, I mean, can prayer and all that, I'm trying to say, Gerber?
I don't know. Can you do a better job of communicating it, and then I'll be able to...
Maybe that is my point. I mean, we kind of talked about it, your heart. I mean, God knows what you really need, mm-hmm. But there's sometimes we can't communicate. Mm-hmm. We can't communicate with each other, let alone trying to communicate with God. I can't even communicate with myself sometimes, going, what am I trying to say right now?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, in prayer life, how does that affect? I mean, what I'm really trying to do, I'm trying to figure out, is there a wrong way to pray? And am I fooling myself saying, well, I'm just talking to myself, or do I have to go to school to figure out how to do this? And that's really what, because I'm trying to figure out what would people really need to hear right now, saying, well, I don't have a good prayer life because I'm afraid of it, because I don't understand really what it is.
Yeah.
I think the only wrong way to pray is to intentionally pray for something you know that is against God's law, like against the Bible. Like, I'm pretty sure I prayed for sinful things unknowingly, but that's why we need Jesus. If you walk into it, Lord, I hope, you know, I'm having a real tough time with this person. I just hope they get sick. That sounds great. Knock them out for a few days. Like, that's, first off, God will not answer that, because that's...
He will answer it. The answer will just be no.
Oh, no. Yeah,
or accurate. Maybe. I mean...
But,
I mean, Stacey was on it.
Were you praying for me to get sick?
I plead the
Yes,
fifth.
I wanted to. I really wanted to spend time just me and the kids. And
I really wanted some alone time. So thank you.
You got it. You're welcome.
I kind of think like maybe an awkward prayer is better than no prayer if you don't know where to start. Yes, I completely agree with Casey. You shouldn't pray for things. Just be smart about it. You know, hey,
Be a good human being.
Yeah, exactly. Be a good human being. But I pray a lot, surprisingly. You know, me and my chaotic brain, I pray a lot. And maybe it's not even full-fledged prayers as it is just a conversation with God. And that's kind of how I look at it. I'm like, you know, I might not start, you know, dear Heavenly Father or dear Jesus, but it's like, oh man, I'm having this internal monologue with myself when really I'm actually having this internal monologue with Jesus. It's like, okay, where do I need to be led? Can you lead me here? Can you give me the guidance? Can you give me the strength to figure it out? And it may not be out loud, but I do it a lot. I don't, you know, and maybe to some, maybe they're like, oh, that's weird. But no, that's me.
The skit guys, who will be in at Concordia and Seward tomorrow.
That's where I'll be 24 hours from now.
AKA Woo-hoo. Wednesday. And October 13th, depending on when you're...
It's a completely free show.
The skit guys have a skit that I don't know if it's called Wrong Ways to Pray or something.
Wrong Ways to Evangelize.
Oh, yeah, they've definitely got that one. Excuse me, sir, but if you were... sorry. But it is fantastic. And Paul, I know you're looking it up, but don't play it because they've got...
choices.
Well, you can look it up, but we shouldn't use their... They're copyrighted stuff. Like
you have to buy their videos,
which is then why they can come and perform things for free. So I'd encourage you guys to go look it up. Check out Skit Guys; they're a lot of fun. Buy their stuff. They really are fun. But
good clean Christian comedy.
Yeah. But the wrong ways to pray. I think it's Wrong Ways to Pray. Paul, did you find it or?
There's one called How to Pray.
Oh, maybe that's just How to Pray. Because it does kind of make fun of a lot of what we do to try and impress God with our prayers and impress others with our prayers. At the same time, like, I think one of my favorites is there. One of the guys is praying and falls asleep 12 times in the middle of his prayer. Because I know I do that all the time.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, because that was so me. But when we pray, we really do want to have a conversation. And so I guess the question of, are there wrong ways to pray? Any conversation with God is better than no conversation with God.
Yes.
But I think you could ask the same question of, you know, is there a wrong way for me to talk to my wife? If I walk in demanding things of her, the first thing I do when I walk in the door after work.
Make me a chicken pot pie.
That's probably not. Well, now that sounds fantastic.
He's the one who should make the chicken pot pie.
Yeah, this is most certainly true.
It will not turn out very good if I make it.
That's probably not a great way to have a conversation with my wife.
Well, especially when you walk right the door.
Hey, right.
Make me a chicken pot pie.
Right. At least I can start with, chicken boy, you look beautiful today. Can I have a chicken pot pie?
Pot pie sounds good. Could we have that for dinner?
Yeah.
Sometime this week.
That's a suggestion.
Right now.
Sorry. I think we can say the same thing. You know, are there bad ways, are there wrong ways to communicate with God? I think really just how, you know, when you communicate with others, do you go in making demands? Well, then really. Probably shouldn't do that with God. Are you always talking and never listening? And I think that's a big part of prayer that's hard to do. And we'll really kind of focus on that next week with seeking solitude. But a lot of times we're always the ones talking and not listening to, and no, God's probably not going to call down.
Hello there.
Yeah. But he is going to show you things.
Like? He sounds like Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think more of James Earl Jones.
See, that's Darth Vader.
See, no. I've watched Bruce and Evan Almighty too much. Like, God is voices Morgan Freeman.
He's either that or it's going to be Mike Rowe. One of the.
Oh, that's the guy from Deadliest Catch. That guy's
and,
what?
And Dirty Jobs.
Dirty Jobs.
And Deadliest Catch.
I'm like, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, oh, no, now I do.
Now, some people might say that it sounds like Neil deGrasse Tyson, whatever the guy's name is.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, yeah.
I don't know who that is either.
That's the science dude. Yeah, but I guarantee anyways, you've seen. Yeah, I digress. Now, since we all have these different voices in our head.
Every day.
But, yeah. But God does answer prayers. And a lot of times, especially when I'm praying for others, I just, you know, I had someone ask me for prayers today and was able to kind of, because I like to, instead of just saying, I'm praying for you, a lot of times I actually just write out a short prayer and send it back, not to make me look good, but to just say, you know, this is what I'm praying. You can pray it too. Just to be able, oh man, I don't know where that conversation started. I don't know where it went. Goodbye.
It's my fault. I think the question I have out of that conversation that you were just having with yourself, that I was listening to was the actual listening part. I guess I never really thought of it that way. Prayer to me was, I'm praying. That means I'm speaking to God.
Yeah.
The listening back, I guess, was never a part of the equation in my brain. So how does that work?
Well, you wait. And that's there. Thanks. That's where I was going. My prayer often for people who are, you know, seeking guidance, seeking direction, is that God would be obvious to them. Now, again, it's not going to sound like Morgan Freeman. You should turn right. But we get like, you know,
we kind of hope it will be right.
When Bruce Almighty is praying for a sign, God, just give me a sign. And then this truck turns in front of him and it's all these signs say wrong way, do not enter, turn around, U-turn. We laugh at that, but a lot of times it's pretty accurate. God, give me a sign, as to where I should go. And then, you know, which direction I should go in this situation. And then just the way that you kind of wanted to go, doors keep shutting and keep shutting and keep shutting, and you just keep praying, God, be obvious to me. And he's like, I just slammed 16 doors in your face. If that's not obvious enough, I don't know what is.
We can line up a 17th if you want to go that route.
Yeah. But that's the listening. Not listening for God to speak, because often when if we're listening to the voices in our head, for God to speak to us in that way, the voices in our head are going to tell us exactly what we want the voices in our head to tell us.
That reminds me of a joke.
Let's go.
Okay. I was going to say, you can't lead off and then like not tell it.
Well, it's kind of,
or should we?
It's kind of a, no, it's all right. It's kind of a dad joke though. But
is it punny?
I don't know. You let me know afterwards. Well, okay. Just like the
Jeff will let you know afterwards.
So if he's still, it's just the you know, a person's on the top of a roof because there was a flood, and he kept on saying, "Oh God, please save me." And this, and so a couple minutes later, this boat came by and said, "Hey, you need a ride?" And he's like, "Nope, God's got this. I'm fine." The guy with the boat takes off, and then he's like, "Oh God, please save me!" And then there's a helicopter, and come on. And he's like, "No, I got this. God's got this." And then eventually he drowns. And he's, and I'm shorting this up.
Right.
And he's like, "What? Why didn't you save me, God?" And he's like, "Oh, well, I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter.
What more do you want?
What do you want?
What I was looking for."
Yeah. It's actually not as, it's funnier when you go on, well, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Sure. But I'm not going to do that to everybody online because I'm a horrible joke teller.
There you go.
That's why I'm not funny.
So, but that's what, like, when, but that's what listening sounds like, or it looks like.
It sounds like.
Yeah. That's what listening sounds like.
When the dove cries.
That's what listening looks like, is you ask, you know, God, you request an answer from God, and he sends it in a form of
something. That's something. It's something that you did not envision.
You could have envisioned it, but
sometimes it's not as obvious as you think it is.
He's not going to just speak words words to you and say, Paul, I'm sending you a boat. And then a boat shows up. He's going to send the boat and you're going to get on the boat and you're going to make it safety. And instead of saying, well, gee, thanks, random boat driver. I mean, you should thank the boat driver for saving your life too. But also to the go back and say, God, you orchestrated all of that. You answered my prayer. Thank you for answering it in that way.
Well, and that actually goes back to the original prayer of using us as a way, whatever means, because they might be, hey, I need you to go out in the boat.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
In a flood.
Mm-hmm. Or even if it's not, it's just like, oh, I need to go to the boat right now. And you go to the boat and there's a kitty cat that needs to be saved. Or a kid. Whatever way it makes it more dramatic that you were like, oh yeah, that makes a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so hard, particularly when we come to God with what I'll call an urgent request. Because usually when we have an urgent request, we have a plan for what we need. And sometimes it's mental. And sometimes we just flat out tell God, I need you to do this for me. And when it doesn't show up, you know, we know God answers all prayer. But sometimes it might be you get the answer you want, just not the way you expected it. Yep. And I think that's the second hardest one, besides when God says no. But that's why you have to not only pray thy will be done, but mentally accept the idea that, you know, God's not a genie in a bottle. Like he's not there to grant your wishes.
And that's, we had, you know, just, and this we see a lot with, I mean, there's some people that have been on our prayer list since I've been here. I mean, it feels like there's every week we're praying for them. And then, you know, and then usually the reason that we stop praying for them, or the reason they come off of our prayer list is because then they went into, you know, they went into a different line on the prayer list, you know, which is those who have passed away. And we go, well, did God not care about that person? Did God not answer that prayer? And then you talk to the families who are like, oh, all their suffering's gone now. They're with Jesus. And so God did answer it. You know, God healed them. Well, he did. And he will finish that, you know, healing when he returns to raise them up and give them a new and perfect body. But, you know, I remember a week that we kind of announced that Dan was getting better. Pastor Hoyer was getting better. Earlier that week, I had gone to a funeral for a member's daughter who had just passed away from cancer. And she was in church. And afterwards, she just talked, you know, we just sat down and talked. And she's like, I don't get it. I'm excited that Pastor Dan is getting better, but why didn't my daughter? And that's really hard because I can't answer that question, even though I want it. I'm a fixer. I want to be able to tell you, well, here's exactly why. Let me show you. No, God answers prayers in different ways. And it's really hard, especially when it's life or death things, to realize that God's will is different than our own wills. And so when we do pray, praying thy will be done is really, that's how we're supposed to finish our prayers. So that's how we do it. But like, that's the hardest prayer right there, is because I just spent 10 seconds or I just spent 30 minutes pouring out my heart to you, and to end it with thy will be done means it might not happen.
Doesn't really matter what you want, is what he needs or he wants.
Yeah. And prayer does change us too. Like, and that's kind of the benefit of one of the benefits, you know, practically of prayer, is when I'm praying for, and we're called to pray for our enemies. We're called to pray for all sorts of people, all sorts of needs. But when I'm praying for a situation, a lot of times, it helps me take my personal feelings out of the situation and see that God's in control. And it changes my attitude a lot of times towards that situation. And so then I come into that situation knowing that God's in control, being reminded that God's in control. He's taking care of it. He calls me to work in a way that's pleasing to him. But it might not be the direction that I want to go for that situation, but he's in control.
Well, and when we pray, it's not like God is, I don't know, and this is not trying to throw this line of profession under the bus. It's not like God is just some guidance counselor sitting back in his chair going, uh-huh, yes, that's a very good prayer. Okay, how does that prayer make you feel? Like, God is active in this situation. One of my favorite Bible stories, I forget which biblical book it's in, but it involves King Hezekiah, one of Israel's, or I guess Judah's most God-following kings, and he fell incredibly ill, and God sent the prophet Isaiah to him to tell him, get your affairs in order, prepare the next heir, you won't survive this. And then Isaiah leaves because there wasn't much more that needed to be said, and Hezekiah begins to pray just desperately for his life. quite literally. And before Isaiah leaves even the palace grounds, God comes to him and says, turn around and go back to the king and tell him I've heard his prayer and he will live 15 more years. So it's not like God is some sort of passive being. He does take what we say into account. It's just, you know, it's not all negative, but you have to brace for either side of that when praying to our holy and perfect God as unholy, imperfect humans.
But then just as prayer changes us, prayer changes the world. Prayer is powerful. And that's where that the question that we kind of started with kind of comes back around is are we praying for the world or are we praying for us? Are we praying for what's best for us? Or are we praying that the world might be changed through God? And that's where I start, because a lot of what I pray for is for my benefit, for the, you know, for the benefit of those around me, friends and family, and for those who have asked me to pray for them. And that's where kind of this week is really helping me to step back and say, you know, do I just open up, and I know I don't get an actual paper, but you just open up the paper and pray for people who, you know, who are in our community in need? Do I open up, you know, just different lines of communication, or do I pay attention to others and lift them up in prayer? Am I praying for our missionaries? Am I praying for counselors? Am I praying for first responders constantly? Because it's not, prayer is not just about, like you said, it's not a genie in a bottle. It's not, let me get what I want out of this. It is a constant conversation. But one of the things that we've talked about, as we've talked about what our prayers are like, or how we pray, a lot of it is asking God for things that we've talked about so far. And that's why I like to use, and it's, I think it's in today's reading, the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. So, you know, are there wrong ways to pray? Again, we talked about that, but there are ways, there are tools that can help us to really have a better conversation with God. Because again, if your conversation with your spouse is always, hey, will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this? Please do this now. That's not a great communication. That's not a
depth relationship.
Right. But when you can start with, you know, when you can talk about the character of your spouse and what you love about her, and when you can, you know, tell her when you've messed up and that you're sorry for those things, and then be thankful for all the things that she has done for you, and then ask for something. Again, it's not this formula that if I do this, then I'll get what I want out of it. But it's just a way to help us grow in a greater relationship, a greater conversation with better communication. That's not just all about what can I get out of it or what can someone that I know get out of it, but how can we grow in our communication?
Speaking of resources, people might get a chuckle out of this. So of course, like, you know, the ACTS method and things like that, there's good resources out there. There's also really bad resources out there. Mm-hmm. And I was helping one of my close friends through a breakup. It was one that they took really hard. So I thought, I don't really have a lot of resources on this. I had to look some up to see if there's biblical resources that could help them. And one of them was a book that said, want to get your significant other back? This is how you do it. And these are the prayers you can pray. We have the exact positions you can get in where God will bring your girlfriend back to you. It's like, I'm no biblical genius, but I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah. And there are lots of those things out there like, oh, well, this prayer worked for this person in the Old Testament. So if you pray exactly like that, you're going to get wealth, health, and wealth. And
I was going to think of flood. Not that anybody prayed for the flood, but, you know, it's in the Bible. I'm
it's
tired.
In the Bible.
Yes, there is.
And there was a flood here.
There was.
Yes.
See, I used to use that same joke that Paul used like a lot.
You probably say it better than I will.
But I stopped. It got put on a bit of a timeout after the flood because I'm like, this is not going to land well in this community right now at all.
True.
Yeah.
Well, and I think as much I know for me is as the if I had to think of the one prayer that I pray, it's just to use me as much as in any way that he needs me to use. And I think like in the flood situation, you know, I need Morgan Freeman to go, hey, you got to go with the boat.
Cool.
You know,
go fill some sandbags.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, usually there is a tug in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's been many conversations that I've had over the years of my life that I think I've helped somebody, but at the end of it, they're like, well, thanks for saying it. And I'm like, a couple of days later, I'm like, I don't even remember what I was talking about. And I just know that wasn't necessarily me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You and all of your great wisdom. And it was a lot of times something that you just kind of came out.
Yeah. It happens all the time. Because then they'll talk about it a year later and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But you're welcome.
Thank you.
So, I mean, sometimes prayer is being answered, and sometimes you're the prayer. Yeah. The answer to the prayer.
Yeah.
And I think that is also comforting as well, even though it's scary. I don't know. At least for me, because I think half the time I'm always like, well, whatever you need to have happen, just, you know.
It's amazing how God can use us when we're available to be used by him.
I find the times I'm more faithful in prayer are the times where I see his hand at work and I'm more in tune with his God's will. It's like when we spend more time with him, we're like looking for him more. So.
Well, and I think your prayers then align for that, because you'll if you could see where it's moving, and then you can be like, oh, yeah, yeah. Because then you're not really praying for what you want, or you could see what other people need and say, how can I help this situation, if at all? Or is there somebody that I know that can connect with that person who can then connect with another person who then can be, we just get meta on it. But it happens a lot. And I generally will, you know, I would hope that that things like that, you know, that all of us are be able to, you said, listen to that back. Because, yeah, we might be the answer to some prayers, depending on, and maybe we're their worst nightmare. Who knows?
That's not the goal, FYI.
And even nightmares sometimes move you where you need to be anyway. Even if your nightmare is that you were a roving tornado to someone else.
Thanks a lot.
I'm so thankful you're in my life, Paul. You ruined this for me. And then it made me not ever do this again. And so I started doing this. And that was the answer to my prayer. Like,
Yeah.
Thanks for God. Yeah. Thank God for using you as an awful human being in my life.
No, that's not the goal.
That's just goal. FYI. Please let me destroy somebody's life so they can learn.
Might be a bad prayer.
That, like, yeah, let's
might classify as.
But maybe that's why we're not going to let Paul pray.
That's a lot more fun.
Paul does that on purpose, so he doesn't have to pray.
What?
Or practice.
Practice what? Out loud?
Yep.
Speaking of people. Practice and prioritizing.
Is it time? Is it time for our corporate prayer out loud?
Please,
I don't have a lot to say.
Please don't heap up
thoughtless words.
My brain doesn't work fast enough for that. Are you all ready to pray? Do we have any prayer requests that came in before I start?
Not on the chat. No, I don't know.
Any from you? Sound like you were going to add something. Not chat. Okay.
Oh, me? Oh, no.
I think it's supposed to be storm tonight and into tomorrow.
Oh.
Pray for fun storms?
No, just there's supposed to be like wind and hail. And
oh, so for those farmers?
Yes, because we've just started harvesting. So anyways,
I'll try to remember.
And if not, I can pray for them later.
Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you in prayer. We thank you for giving us a way to talk to you, to hear from you, to just rest in your presence. Thank you for hearing everything that we say, Lord, whether it's out loud or in our brains. You know every thought that's on our minds, Lord, and you know every need that we have and that everybody in this world has, Lord. Thank you that you care for us, that you care for the needs of everybody, and that you want to hear from us, Lord. It's not just that you want to give us things, but you want to have a relationship with us. You want to show us who you are, so that we can know you better every day. Thank you for the opportunity to talk together today about prayer. We ask that anything that we've talked about, Lord, would be helpful to those who listen, that you would challenge us to spend more time with you in prayer, that we would come to you with all of our needs and the needs of those around us and the needs of our entire world, Lord. We can trust you with all of our requests and all of our lives. We pray tonight, Lord, if there are storms, that you would show mercy on the crops of the farmers who are harvesting, Lord, that they would the weather would not destroy the work that they have done this year, Lord, that you would still allow them to gather what they need to provide for their families, that there would be enough, Lord, regardless of what the weather brings tonight. And we pray for all those who are listening, Lord, that they would just know you and find peace and security in relationship with you, Lord. We thank you for our listeners. We thank you for the chance to come together every week and speak about you, Lord. That is a great privilege that we have. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, I was muted so that my amen didn't count. Nope.
We heard it.
Excavator, as our kids would say.
Four of our prayers counted. Paul is iffy.
It's all right.
There you go.
So, All right. So, you have anything going on this week? I think we need to know about, other than youth group starting November 17th.
Seventh.
That's what I meant. Seven.
If you show up on the 17th, there's a good chance we won't be here.
Oh, yep.
Probably not. Is it Sundays?
You mean it'll Sundays? Be Sundays at 5:00.
Oh, that's when I'm in. That's when I'm in Buffalo.
Oh, that's. It's also the day of our
Buffalo.
congregational meeting. Mm-hmm. That's earlier in the day.
Savings. The Packers and daylight savings. Play the Chiefs. Yep. Hudson informed me.
Yep. So I won't get to see a lot of the game, but I'll get to
talk about dedication. Sacrifice and dedication.
Hudson came up to me and just said, "We need to have the Roberts over the day that the Chiefs play the Packers." And I'm like, "I don't even know when that is." He's like, "Oh, I do." And Casey should come over.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Casey sorry.
Doesn't, he doesn't go anywhere. He just sits in his isolation. And
his isolation. Mm-hmm. He doesn't watch with other people.
You're like, I do watch with other people.
Just not the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. And that wound up being a very good choice this past year.
It was.
So. I didn't watch Sunday night's game with anyone either, which also wound up being a very good choice because it was ugly if you're a Chiefs fan.
Okay.
All right.
Peace out.
Are we done?
Amen. I'm good.
I forget about the delay.
Yeah. Well, it's all right.
I love it.
It's good. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate. We'll be right back.